Okay. All right. Welcome to the bodybuilding podcast. I've got my friend Dawson D. Tren on here with me for the show today.
Going on.
We've been friends for like 2 years now. So, man, you've grown a lot since we first met. And this last little bit, I noticed that so I released a podcast episode about like 3 weeks ago talking about like insulin sensitivity and like how that affects like water in your skin or whatever. And then
Yes.
probably for the last 3 weeks, I've seen you look in the driest I've ever seen you look in my life. So were you
Yeah,
listening to
man.
that? Did you take that
I
advice?
did. I did. I felt like that podcast was like made for me specifically. I was like doing cardio, and when it dropped it, I'm like, holy hell, this is like all the questions I had in my mind just right in this video.
Awesome.
Literally everything, the whole podcast from start to finish. It was like all these questions I didn't really know how to ask because I didn't know about it, as much as you do. And it answered everything.
Sweet. So you were telling me, because we were talking like a couple weeks ago, and you were telling me that you showed me a picture of like all the eggs you were eating and everything, and say you were
Yeah.
going on more of like a golden era type diet, like Rick
Yes.
Drayson on his YouTube channel used to talk
Yes.
about what kind of diet he and Arnold Schwarzenegger were eating. And then that was right when I started seeing you drop the water retention.
Yeah, literally, I focused more because I was already cutting and I was still eating a good amount of carbs and the progress was good. It wasn't too crazy. And then I did research into it, the golden era diet, and then I seen your video and I was already eating like that, like going towards that less carb approach. And I was like, wow, this is why don't I give this a shot? So I went to my grocery store, I bought, I already had the eggs, I bought a bunch of cottage cheese. Whole milk, filtered whole milk, so more protein, less carbs, less sugar, more fat. Some Greek yogurts, keto yogurts, like just a bunch of stuff that's high in protein, high in fat, and not so much high in carbs, and some like nuts and stuff like pistachios. And that's been majority of my diet. And since I've been doing that, physiques looked a lot drier. A
Man.
lot drier.
Yeah, and your face too looks less bloated.
Yeah.
It looks
Yes.
more slim.
Yes.
So for me too, when I was really going balls to the wall with the steroids and the bodybuilding and everything, my face was always a problem for me. I had this
Yeah.
thing where it was like my face was always big, and that always bugged me. And I felt
Yeah.
like man, I hate it that like my face looks puffy or like exploding or something like this moon face, they call it.
Yeah, moon face.
A lot of bodybuilders have that problem. I remember
Yeah.
the first time that I experienced getting rid of it was I was listening to one of the guys that taught me how to like make websites and like start working online. He had a podcast. It was Victor Pride on boldanddetermined.com, and he was talking about how he just switched to a totally meat diet, only meat diet, carnivore diet, and it like changed his life, and he was able to like work harder and everything. And so then that was what the first time that I tried it, and I realized like man, there is like eating carbs almost has the kind of effect on your body as like taking drugs.
Yeah.
Like as far as like you can manipulate the appearance of your body so much by
Yeah.
manipulating carb intake.
Definitely. I notice it too. Like when I'm really consistent on the lower carbs and like doing a lot of cardio, I notice I can see my physique looks slimmer but flatter, less vascular and kind of like still full, but not as like I guess not as like just pumped, like less vascular, kind of a little bit more flat. And then a day, let's say I do eat a good amount of carbs, like I refeed, my physique just like transforms. Like if I'm consistent and I'm like, okay, let's say I want to do a video, like I've been in this schedule where I've been shooting YouTube videos and Monday through Friday, I'll be really strict really lower the carbs, really hammer out the cardio. And then by the time Saturday comes, I'll have a cheat meal or maybe even sometimes a cheat day. And then I record my YouTube video the day after, and my physique is pumped. It's veiny. I almost look harder. Like it's like everything just pops out like 3D, and then all these veins come everywhere, and the fullness and the strength is insane. The muscular endurance, it
There's
keeps me
like
sane. It
that
keeps me mentally sane.
there's that super compensation effect that you get when you take out the carbs and then you put them back in. Almost like a, bodybuilders do it for peaking, for peak week, for competition. And you kind of, it sounds like what you're experiencing is that increased sensitivity to the carbohydrates where you took them out and then your body got super sensitive and then you put them in for a couple of days or a day, like you're saying, and it's like boom, you transform.
It's just, and the lower carb approach is actually, for me, it's very, very easy on my body. I feel really good. My digestion, even eating a bunch of dairy, if I eat a lot of dairy throughout the day, I have no digestion issues. I have no stomach issues. I have no pain, no bloating. So I could eat 10, 12 eggs, bunch of cottage cheese, 4 or 5 glasses of whole milk, and my stomach's fine. It's like rocking and rolling. But if I eat a lot of carbohydrates, I notice throughout the day I get really bloated or gassy, and I'm like, I don't feel too good. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
that thing with the
That's what I've
stomach like
noticed.
being round too, like a lot of bodybuilders, especially as they get bigger, as guys use growth hormone, as guys use insulin, they'll notice like, man, my stomach sticks out in front of me. And
Extended. Yeah, extended.
when you go low on the carbs, that goes away. You notice a
It
flat
does.
stomach.
Yeah, it does. And then when you do, let's say you do go out on the carbs, the day after you wake up, you're not bloated and overspilled. Your waist is still very tight, and you're like, damn, like that's what I've noticed the most this past month and a half or so is my waist is very, very, very trim, like the slimmest it's ever been. And I've weighed less before, but my waist has never looked like this, even at 250. I'm about 250, 255, and I've been 235, 240. My waist wasn't like this. That's what I notice a lot is the midsection. This area really improves without even doing any ab exercises or sit-ups or nothing.
Like you were talking about that having like a junk day or something, I'm a believer in that too. Even with the low carb diet or whatever, I do think that having some carbs, at least like once a week, but even like 2 times a week can even be
No, yeah,
optimal.
I do sometimes. Sometimes I'll have 2 junk days. Like, I'll just eat whatever I want, and I learned that because I've already did that. I've been the one to eat a lot of junk here and there. I did research in what like the golden era bodybuilders like Arnold, and they said that most of the week, 5, 6 days out of the week, they'd eat very clean, very strict, keep the carbs low. They wouldn't even eat a lot of food. They were eating probably 2,500 calories when they were trying to cut down, or maybe even less. They really were just not, the calories were low, the protein and fats were high. And then one day or two or so out of the week, they'd eat whatever they wanted, usually on the weekend. They just eat everything and anything. And then they'd feel a little bit guilty afterwards. And then they'd restart it Monday through Friday or Saturday again. They'd keep it clean. And then they'd, look forward to that cheat day where they eat whatever they want. And that's what I've been doing, is I've been keeping it clean, doing like sometimes 60 minutes of cardio a day, 2 times. Like I'll do 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes post-workout, and I'm killing myself. I'm feeling good. And then by the time the weekend comes, I'm like, man, I can't wait to just get some good food or whatever. And maybe I'll have 1 or 2 days just eating pretty much whatever. And by the time Monday comes and I'm ready to get, down to business, I'm not overspilled or anything.
Nice.
Like everything is still really clean, and the body fat is slowly but surely coming off. It's really sustainable. Like for my mental health, like I'm like, I could do this year round if I want to. Like that's how it
Oh,
feels.
the other thing too that you were saying was that you, before trying this lower carb dieting approach, you would have to like literally starve yourself to lose weight. Like you're
Yeah, no,
talking about like 2,500 calories per day, you wouldn't lose weight even at
no.
250 pounds.
That's essentially where I'm at right now. I'm still I haven't lost much weight in the past 6 weeks. I've actually gained weight when I was coming off my cruise, like before I started this cycle. It was 249, like on TRT. And now I'm around anywhere from 252 to 253 fasted. So I've actually gained weight, but it looks as if I've dropped like 3 to maybe 5% in body fat. Like I've recomped so
Good.
hard, and my strength is the best it's ever been in my life. And I don't know why that is. I think it might be because I finally got the diet dialed down, or maybe my training's improved, or maybe it's because cardio. I don't know what, but I've never been this strong, like ever
What
in my life.
what are your top two exercises on push day?
On a push day, I use a lot of the machines. So I do like a flat machine press, and then I'll do like a
Like hammer strength.
incline. Yeah, incline machine press. And those have all improved. Like flat machine press, I go up to six plates, for three or
Nice.
four reps.
That's heavy. So on
Incline.
hammer strength plate loaded
Yeah.
press.
Yeah, and
Six
on an
plates is a lot.
incline.
I think that's maxing it out. Can you even put more than six plates on?
No, I don't think so. No. And on the incline, I went up to five plates for about three reps. So I got five plates on the incline on each side, and maxing out, of course, all like the tricep push downs, like everything. I've never been this strong, even during my peak bulk where I was running a lot of gear. I wasn't this strong, and I wasn't eating as much whole foods. I think that's what's helped a lot is I'm eating a lot of eggs, drinking a lot of milk, cottage cheese, like nuts, like. My protein intake is very high, and I kind of would like yo-yo my diet in the past and think, oh, the drugs can do the work, or I can get away with this, and I had lackluster results, or I wouldn't be consistent. And this past month and a half, my consistency has been like the best it's ever been. And I attribute it to this diet because it makes me feel good. I have energy. I don't feel all fucking like, oh man, I feel like shit. I want to take a nap. Like, you know what I mean? I don't feel like that all the time.
Man, that's good.
Yeah.
Actually, speaking of that, somebody sent in a question because I got a bunch of questions from Instagram. People sent them in. We'll just start with one that is related to that. Alex asks, which cycles were too much for your guys' bodies and fully affecting your life?
Any cycle that included trenbolone,
Okay. Yeah,
any
usually, yeah.
cycle that included trenbolone,
Does it make you shake a little bit? I get a little tremor on trenbolone.
I notice when I'm on tren, like my hands will kind
Okay. Yeah,
of,
exactly.
or if you've ever taken M-tren, I took that a few times pre-workout just to try it. Like people would notice, I kind of seemed like I was shaking just talking to them. Like it was like really intense.
Yeah.
I've done that, but Tren, yeah, a little bit of shaking. Yeah, Tren, anything with Tren, it was really tough to be consistent or to control impulses or to really like, or you tell yourself, I'm gonna do this and then stick with it the entire route. You'd be like, I'm gonna do this. And then a week or two go by, like, oh, fuck that, I'm gonna do it this way. Like my impulse just goes out the window on Tren. Then you focus on the wrong things and the cycle or whatever could get just dampened.
Injectable
Seriously, it really could
bipolar.
fuck. It really feels like that. Like you're just like, I don't know. It's fun when you first do it. Like when you first try it and you're young and you're like, I like the feel of this shit. You're like, yeah, this feels cool. And after like four or five times, you're like, man, I'm fucking tired of this shit. I don't want to run it anymore. I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm tired of making because it's like there's like a I like to say there's like a side of you on trend that like whenever you stick that compound, like you inject that compound in your body, you're like before you start it, you're like, it's gonna be different this time around. Like I got this under control, we're good to go. And the trend enters your bloodstream. a few weeks go by, it's like it brings out that same person that it used to bring out in you. That's the best way I could describe it.
Yeah, I've got a couple of runs that I've done where they were too much for me too and affecting my life. One time in Thailand, they've got those pink hexagon D balls. Have you seen like the original looking D balls? It's like a
Yeah, I have.
little pink hexagon, right? And so they sell those at the pharmacies there in tubs of 1,005 milligram tablets. So you got 1,000 tablets, right? And
Yeah, that's a lot.
so you're like, whoa, well, I gotta be like Arnold with these. And so you're like, well, the rumor is that Arnold took a handful, right?
Yeah. You just take a handful of pre-workout.
Basically, I was using 100 milligrams of D-ball per day at one point with those, and those are
Oh
really
my.
strong pills, like rocket fuel. They work and better than
Yeah.
regular D-ball. And that I would try to walk home from the gym, and my lower back pump would be too extreme that I couldn't walk, and I would have to sit on a fire hydrant or something because I was in so much agony and pain trying to walk home that I was going to scream or something like that. I couldn't even walk.
Yeah, that will do it. 100 milligrams of Dianabol. I don't think I've ever took more than 50 in a day, and that was like maybe just for a day or two.
That's
Because
probably too much too.
even 20 was strong. 20 for me, my nipples would be on fire, and I'd gain like fucking 10 pounds of water weight, some 20 milligrams. It hit me like a truck.
That's the good dosage, though, I think, like 20 to 30
Yeah.
milligrams of D-ball. I remember reading on the forums as a youngster, I would read on the forums and it'd be like, yeah, so 50 milligrams of D-ball, right? And that's actually
Yeah.
kind of like acceptable on the internet as a beginner
It
dose.
was in the past, like 4 or 5 years ago, that was like the norm. It, like, if you take 50 milligrams, you don't take 10 or 20, you take 50 of this stuff. That's what everyone was doing. Yeah, back in the test Deca D-ball days, that was like the common second cycle. It's like you got to take your test, your Deca, and your D-ball. That's what all the old school guys took.
Did you
And then
ever
you.
try using D-ball instead of testosterone as a base?
I didn't know, but I did. I used to love D-ball. D-ball was actually my first love as a compound, because I ran it my first cycle, my second, and my third. So I felt it the first day I ever took it. I fell in love with it. Like it gave me a high. It gave me such a high D-ball. And I ran it when I ran my Deca only cycle. I ran D-ball with it for about a week, and it helped like a lot. Significantly, like in terms of like energy and just feel good.
The DECA only. Okay, because somebody sent in a question about the petulant one sent in a question. He says, DECA only experience, please.
So yeah, I ran DECA only for about 8 weeks. I waited until my test was essentially non-existent. Like I started when it was like below 200 nanograms per deciliter around there, and it dropped down to like 10, I think, peak, like 6, 8 weeks in the cycle. And I ran it from about 1500 to 2000 milligrams. I started at 1500, and I think the last few weeks I was at 2000.
That's the right dose.
And
That's like a really good effective dose of DECA only.
and I was, of course, ran it with growth hormone. Tried a few other things with it, but for the most part, it was mainly all DECA. And it was really, really mild, dude. Like it felt really mild. Like you kind of felt like I wasn't running anything.
Okay.
Like it let besides just the physique, like looking at the physique, and it almost felt like I was running less than TRT mentally, but the feeling was like very zen-like DECA, like very neutral, like almost kind of like how a hippie would feel. Like I stopped caring about my appearance. I stopped caring about shaving, getting a haircut. And I
It
just
really affected
like,
your mind.
yeah, I just did not care about much. Like I was just like, I almost kind of like lost my ego on it. Like it just killed the ego. Like, so like I just didn't really have much of an ego on it at all. That's the best way I could describe how it made me feel. So very zenned out, very neutral, very like, oh, let's do that, or oh man, or I'll do that another time. Like, oh, okay. Like I never get angry, never get like super happy, never get super angry. It was always kind of, it's just kind of like this the entire time.
How
But
about
the game,
motivation?
the motivation was like average, above
Okay.
average, which is where like the D-ball helped. And I believe for me, the motivation wasn't as high because my estrogen was very low. It was like at a 9 or 10 sensitive E2. So I'd really, my estrogen was on the lower end, did not raise my estrogen at all. But what was really interesting about it, the motivation was good. It wasn't amazing. It wasn't like the testosterone motivation. It was more just kind of like you're there, you're existing. But the what I will say is the sex drive was pretty good. It wasn't amazing. It was good, but my erections on Deca only were the probably the best they ever were, like out of any cycle.
That's
I don't know
unexpected.
what the fuck was going on there. But I did look at my blood work. My prolactin was bottomed out. Essentially, it was really low. Like not bottomed out, but it was low normal. My estrogen was like at a 10, so it was pretty low.
And you
My
weren't using
testosterone was at
Cabergoline?
no. I didn't even touch it. No AI,
Okay.
no caber, nothing. My test was bottomed out. It was like at a 10. Like I had female levels of testosterone,
Yeah.
and my erections were like fucking nonstop. Like it was like I was on a permanent dose of Cialis.
That's weird.
What was also really weird with that is, but my erections were amazing, but my climax, my orgasm sucked. So like when it did happen, it was very like uneventful.
That is just that
There
man,
was,
you're
yeah.
the whole thing, like your whole deck experience, it almost sounds like you were on some kind of psychedelic trip or something, you know? It affected you
Oh
mentally
yeah.
so much in so many different ways.
No, I mean, if you think about it, look at all the golden era old school bodybuilders. Some of them kind of, that was the time of like, hippie time period. And some of those guys were living at fucking Gold's Gym on the roof. Scavenging like McDonald's hamburgers in the trash can, or they'd eat 5 or 6 McDonald's cheeseburgers and they'd load up their steroids and train and go back to bed, train for 6 hours, and then that's it. And they were homeless. They literally lived on the roof or under a bridge.
Thinking about where that golden era bodybuilding, what time period it was in, is pretty interesting because we're talking about the 60s and the 70s. And the 60s and 70s is when that whole drug counterculture like emerged, and we had the hippies and everything. And so we already know that like hippies and all these people, these guys from this time period, 60s guys who were doing like rock and roll, the famous rock bands and stuff, these weren't people who were like moderate people, right? Like the
No.
hippies, the 60s, the 70s, they were going hardcore with whatever they did. If they were using LSD, they were going crazy on it. If they were using weed, they were going crazy on it. If they were using
Yes.
whatever drug, they were going crazy on it.
Yes.
So it was the same thing with the steroids. It's like so naive to believe that these hippies were like these moderate little guys that were so shy.
Yeah. No, yeah, they were loading up the steroids too. And probably other drugs. They love their amphetamines as well. A lot of the bodybuilders love their amphetamines. Mike Mensur.
I
I think
remember
everyone was on them, I think.
I forget which guy this was, but he was talking about training in that original Gold's Gym back there in the 60s, and he said something about, and we were on so much Ritalin, I thought I could run outside and stop a truck with my bare hands. Did
Yeah, I've
you ever
seen
hear that
that.
one? You saw
Yeah,
that?
yeah.
Okay.
His friend felt like that and literally ran out and got hit by a car.
What the fuck? Do you remember who that was? I can't remember.
I forgot, but he was one of the bodybuilders during that time. I know you're talking about though, but he was the one that took a lot of gear. But yeah, I know. I know who you're talking about.
Have you ever tried Kratom?
Kratom?
Yeah.
I've tried it once or twice, but nothing to really get an idea of how it really works.
That's
But
another
I know
one
you were
where,
big on it.
yeah, I was for 1 year. I used it every day. And now I don't use it ever. But it can make you be able to work out without getting tired. Like in, you know, that kind of pre-workout way. You know, like in the 90s, there was this thing where the bodybuilders at Gold's were carrying fanny packs with them. And inside the fanny packs, the reason why is because they were all addicted to Nubane, which is like an injectable Vicodin. And they were training on the Nubane because it makes you be able to train hard as hell. And that, I mean, anything that has that kind of like activating the opiate receptor or the opi op any kind of the opioid receptors kind of has that effect. And that's one of the effects of Kratom, is it does activate that receptor some. So definitely more mild than, you know, that's so beyond stupid to be you know, injecting Nubane and shit and going to the gym. I'd rather eat a plant and be able to get a similar effect. But yeah, you can eat the kratom and train for 3 hours and be like, your friend gets to the gym after working out for 3 hours yourself, and you'd be like, oh yeah, I'll do your workout with you too, bro.
Oh man. Yeah, that's crazy. Sounds like fun.
It is. Okay, let's get to another question here. Josh asks, question for the pod with D-Trend. Recovery is obviously a huge part of bodybuilding. Often you see huge bodybuilders with conditions such as sleep apnea. Nick Walker, for example. Have you guys run into any sleeping conditions?
No, not really. I'd say I'm one of the luckier ones. I don't really suffer from what I know, sleep apnea. For me, sleep's really easy. I fall asleep really easily. With me though, sometimes I just stay up really late, like past like 1 or 2 a.m. just because I like doing that. Like it's kind of just like researching and really just getting in, information, kind of a night owl. But no, I've never suffered from really sleep apnea. Maybe when I first started, when I was on a lot of D-ball or a good amount of D-ball, my estrogen was high shit. I was holding a lot of water retention a little bit during that time. Like I would wake up snoring. I remember I would snore and I'd wake up. I was snoring so loud.
Do you snore on? Do people tell you that you snore?
Yes, a little bit, but a lot less compared to what I used to. Like a lot less.
When were you at peak snoring?
Like 19, 20, like when I first started PEDs.
Okay. And so maybe that did have to do with the water retention or something from using a lot of D-ball.
And I think I feel like my face changed a little bit too, like my jaw and stuff. I feel like when I was younger, my jaw and my face was a lot smaller. And over time, it grew a little bit and it helped me actually with breathing and
Cool.
stuff. So it was like a weird side effect. I think I got from mainly the growth hormone, maybe both. I don't know how that works, but I noticed.
I mean, I guess when you use PEDs in your teenage years, you can maybe change your face, huh?
And I noticed my breathing has improved a lot. And like I used to have a really strong lisp when I was younger, like 18, 19, and it's a lot weaker now. So
I've
I
never heard it.
believe.
I've never noticed it.
You would have noticed it like 3 years ago. It was
Okay.
really strong. It was hard for me to talk at times back then, but now it's not. So I'm guessing my structure has changed, like my face structure from being on PEDs for 4 years and starting at 19 and stuff.
Yeah, that was interesting to hear that as you've gotten bigger, your sleeping or breathing has gotten better, because usually it's the opposite. I mean, it is really common for bodybuilders to have sleep apnea. And I know as I got bigger, the bigger I got, the more snoring, the louder my snoring became. And then I would kind of like choke a little bit sometimes when I was sleeping, and people would comment on that, like, oh, you had some kind of a problem while you were sleeping.
Yeah, what I think it is with me is I shot up to 250 pounds when I was 19. So I was started at 195 and I shot up to like 250 like 8 months later.
So you're already
But
at the same weight that you're at now.
yeah, but it was a lot more body fat and water retention. So like I've stayed around 250 the past 4 years, but I've recomped. Like I've leaned out and added a lot more muscle tissue. So I haven't really gotten up much higher than that. I've got to 265 before. But you know, I've been around 250, 255 since my first year on PEDs. It's just my body composition's changed in terms of a lot more muscle and a lot less body fat, you know, versus when I first started. It was a lot of it was just water retention, body fat.
There's a bunch of bodybuilders who use those sleep apnea CPAP machines. I
Yeah.
bought one time. I got on Craigslist and bought one from an old woman. And get this, man, it was the weirdest thing, man. I went to this woman's house and she saw that I was a bodybuilder and she was going, "Oh, do you take testosterone?" And I was like, "Yeah." And she was like a middle-aged, probably like 55, 60 years old, fat woman. And she was like, "I just started taking testosterone." And I was like, "What the fuck?" And she's like, "Yeah, I'm taking testosterone propionate to make my libido go up." And I was thinking, I don't really want to know, right? Or something. And
She was hitting on you.
but then her husband was in the garage, and she was kind of like snickering with her husband, like she was so excited to be taking this testosterone propionate and like have a higher sex drive or something. So I bought my CPAP machine from her. Okay.
That's funny.
Anyways, though, I never really used it. I used it like once or twice, and then I was like, man, I don't want to be strapping this fucking thing to my face or whatever, you know.
Yeah, it's fun.
I remember seeing Matt Ogis wearing one, and I know Stan Efferding is big on those too. But there's a medicine called acetazolamide, which is like a very weak diuretic that actually has, when you look at studies for like how to prevent sleep apnea or treat it, that this medicine, this pill, acetazolamide, is more effective than these CPAP machines. So for
Wow.
anybody out there that's listening to this, if you've got some kind of sleep apnea issue, I would go for the acetazolamide first.
Yeah, maybe do more cardio, clean up the diet, but if that's not the issue, if it's still, then you know, might have to look into other measures.
Yeah,
Yeah,
or sleeping on your side. That's another one too that helps.
that's how I sleep. I sleep on my side.
That's the body. That's the good way to sleep for a bodybuilder. There was one guy in New York. He was a huge strong man. And one time he posted a photo on Instagram of how he slept. And there was this, it was a picture of him, of his girlfriend in the bed, and then him sitting next to the bed on a wooden chair, like forward, like this was head down. And he was saying, "This is how I sleep, because if he gets on his bed, he'll choke."
Oh, that's terrible. That's not worth it, man. That's not fucking worth it.
Man, you bodybuilders, power lifters, strong men, not the average guys, not the normal guys.
Definitely. Definitely not. Even me, not the average normal guy, and you.
Yeah, I think that's actually like a misconception that people have, because a lot of like normal people, because a lot of normal people are into going to the gym and everything, they think that the guys that are really successful and everything in these kind of sports are just like normal, just like them, just like your average guy. And nothing could be
Yep.
further from the truth.
No, it's far from normal. The more, in fact, the more successful you are, the farther from normal you are in this sport.
Yeah, actually, so
Yes.
that was one of the questions Tyler asks. Did your guys' body dysmorphia get worse since you've grown?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Same for me. The probably
Yeah.
the bigger I got, the worse it got.
Yeah, the better you look, the worse it gets, without a doubt.
there's kind of like an expectation about that too, that I think is kind of what part of why that happens. Because when you've put so much effort into it and you've taken a lot of steroids and everything and a lot of growth hormones and you're doing all this shit, you think, for all everything that I'm doing and all this medicine that I'm taking, I should be looking insane. So you have this like growing, because of how involved you're getting in the bodybuilding, as you get bigger, you have this increased expectation of how fucking unhuman you should look.
Yeah, definitely. You start thinking like, fuck, I should be looking better. You look at yourself, there's always something you can see that you're not satisfied with. You could always be a bit leaner, you could always have this muscle group a bit bigger, or just everything. It's just you're always constantly judging yourself, so it's hard to sometimes appreciate what you have built up. And sometimes I can, sometimes I look at myself and wow, I love what I see, I love it. You're just like, I gotta keep going, gotta keep the ball rolling, gotta, like what Arnold says, you have to stay hungry. You can't be satisfied just with this. Like even Arnold himself, he said at his peak, he wasn't satisfied with his body and he wasn't happy with it. There was some muscle groups he wanted to improve on, and he wasn't happy. Like, I don't know if you've seen the video where Arnold says he's looking at himself in the mirror after winning. I forgot what Miss, I think it was the 73, one of the Mr. Olympias, and he looks at himself and he's like, How the fuck did this piece of shit body win the Olympia?
I do remember that, man. I
He
saw
looked
that.
at himself, yeah, and he's like, how did this piece of shit body win?
That
Like
was an
that's how he
interesting
felt
thing
about
to hear.
himself. Yeah, and everyone thinks Arnold, they think confidence, they think, wow, this guy had it all. In reality, what probably was really going on in his mind is he probably thought he looked fucking terrible. He probably thought, man, I look like shit. Like, I'm not worthy of this, which is probably why he worked so hard and went.
Every time that I've talked about having a podcast with you, I've gotten a lot of questions about your mental health from people. So you don't have to really go into this, but I'll just, let these people say what they fucking want to say, and you can reply back what you want to
Okay.
say, okay?
Yeah.
So Jorge asks, it'd be awesome if you could ask him what made him leave the D-Trend persona. He said it was the fact that he couldn't tolerate the hate anymore, but I feel like it could be something deeper and different. And then
So yeah.
one
All right.
more.
Yep. Okay.
Jaron asks, can we talk about his mental health? Is it drug related or something he has always had to be mindful of? The last 6 months, he's been all over the place, happy, confident, crushing the gym, other times incredibly low and doesn't have that glow.
All right. So I'll start off with the persona and I guess the change in my content and how I come off as a content creator. To be honest, there really never was a persona. Like there was never really a persona with me. Like sure, when I made funny videos or I got into character a bit, yeah, there'd be persona. Like I wanted to have fun or joke around. That's sure, that's a persona. But how I acted on social media was very genuine. So like if I told someone to go fuck off, like that was genuine. Or I told someone I don't give a fuck, that was genuine. So I just changed as a person. Like that was me as a person back then. That wasn't, it wasn't much a persona. Like I wasn't really playing a character. I just thought, okay, if I was making content, I'd be like, all right, what's a good way to get views? What's a good way to pop off? I'll say something maybe a little bit abrasive, or it was like, how could I get reactions from people? I would think about that and I would say things in a way that was more kind of abrasive or kind of like shock value. So I just throw it in there, but like I never really played a persona. Like that's who I really was like back then when I was 21 years old. I'm 23 now. I've been on social media for 2 years. That was just me. Like that was me back then, and I had to put in a conscious effort to not be like that anymore because I wanted to change for myself. It wasn't just, oh, because I was getting all this hate. I was always getting hate once I got on social media. That was always there.
And you
I
still
also
do,
got
right?
love too.
I think
Not
everyone
as
does.
much. Well, not as much, no, because you know, I changed my character.
Okay.
Not how I used to be. Like I've changed my mindset, but I always had hate, especially when I first started. I got a lot of hate, and then I got love and hate, and then I got, you know, still more hate. So like that was always there. And a big part of that was because of how I interacted with people, how I came off, how I talked. And it was just more abrasive and kind of like straight to the point, direct. I'd say things that were kind of mean or maybe would hurt people's feelings. And so people would take that as me being a character. And sometimes I would, you know, just have fun, I'd joke around, but that was just, you know, all right, how can I get views here? What's a way for me to get views? I'll say this funny thing, be funny for a little bit. But in reality, yeah, I was really like, that's who I was as a person, like day to day. Like I
Well,
was someone that was always very angry and very just not happy. I was not a happy person at all.
what was bothering you specific? What was the main thing in your life that was, making you feel that way?
I was just so envious, dude. I
Okay.
felt like I always deserved more. Like I
And
wanted to take, you know, and I feel like I deserve more. Like kind of just on a power trip, you know, like you just feel envious. I was just envious and I was insecure. So you add in extreme amounts of insecurity, envy, and with a chip on your shoulder, something to prove. And then you add in the fact you're 21 years old, you're 22 years old, right?
yeah.
That's kind of what you get. And then you get someone that's kind of abrasive. And I'm not saying I was a bad person. It's just online, I would interact with people differently than I did in person. So in person, I was rather respectful. You know, for the most part, I was nice. But online, it was different. I thought, okay, I could say and do whatever I want on here with no repercussions.
Yeah.
That was my mindset. Like, I didn't care. Like, I'm going to show you guys me. And that was me. Like, I really was a brash, abrasive, non-sensitive person. You know, very sarcastic, very, you don't like it, cry about it, fighting fire with fire, you know? And yeah, dude, I always dealt with kind of those issues growing up in life. I've never been the most confident dude, and I was always kind of pushed away as a kid growing up in school. Like people would think I was weird, or you know, I don't really like him, or he's stupid. I've always been called stupid, or always felt not good enough. People always pushed me away, so I always had this natural kind of like on edge aggression as I got older towards people. So like when I was younger, I was really shy, really caring, like loving kid. I wanted to be accepted. And then I just got rejected my entire life by everybody, rejected. And then when I got older, like 18, 19, 20, I kind of got in this stage where I just had a really negative viewpoint on everybody. Like for the most part, I was just like, fuck everyone. I don't need anybody. I'll do things my way, you know? Like it turned into that. And yeah, the last 2 years have been rough. They've been hard because I knew people, to the guy that said, oh, why does it seem like he's confident and happy-go-lucky? I've never been that way. I've never just been a confident, happy with myself kind of guy. I've always judged myself. I've always been very hard on myself. I've always been like, I always felt like I wasn't enough. So most of the time, you know, I had to fake it till I made it. So I had to, you know, come off that way. And man, it just took me a long time to mature and get to the point where I would ask myself, like, I would be so upset. Like people would be like, well, why does it seem like he's so out of life? And it's because I felt like I was embarrassing myself online. Like my dignity was at zero. Like I was making a fool out of myself for people's amusement. Causing drama or lashing out because I couldn't control my own emotions. And I knew that even when I was at my peak of social media, fame or whatever, when I had 30,000 followers in 1 week, or when I was getting millions of views, I knew that I wasn't being the man I could be. Like there was a conflict inside of me. Like
Man,
I knew I
that's
could be
interesting to hear.
better. I knew I could be better. I knew I could have treated people better. I knew that there was more for me than what I was known as D-Tren, who people knew D-Tren as, which was always negative, even if it was positive. Like, oh yeah, he's an asshole, but he's a funny guy. And or oh yeah, we don't follow him for his physique. We follow him because he's a funny guy. And that absolutely fucking crushed me to the point like I started really hating myself. And it got to a point like these past few months, the way I could describe it is I essentially killed the old version of myself because I hated myself so much. Like I hated everything. I hated what I was known as. I hated all this fame. People saying my jokes or talking like me or trying to emulate me or oh, D-Tran, haha, you just like pinning Tran, or all these bad advice, like kind of excuses to live like a shitty person or to not give it your all or to have ex to make excuses for your own fucked up actions that other people would talk towards me about. It just really fucking like made me hate myself.
Man, that's really interesting hearing you say that, because that like kind of story there gives like so much more context now for like how you've been so into bodybuilding and everything, and for like it's been such a focus for you, because I swear, man, like all the bodybuilders who are successful, they always have got some kind of story that is kind of similar to what you were just saying.
Yeah. And I look at myself in the mirror and I just hate myself. And that's why I changed my name, or I didn't want to be known as D-Trent, because I was so ashamed of being associated with that. Like when people think of me, Dawson, they think of whatever in their mind D-Trent is. And I knew that wasn't really me. Like I knew deep down there was more to me than that. Maybe that's who I was, But I was like, I don't want to keep going down this path and living a life of regret. And then people just be, oh, that's just D-Tren being D-Tren. Of course he's going back to his old ways. Of course he's treating people how he's always treated people. And I was tired of it, so I had to look into myself. And this past, I'd say month or two has been the most growth I've had, not even in my physique, my body, which has been a lot of growth too. But mentally, because now I feel like the first time in my life, I've actually felt love for myself ever. Like since I was a kid, like the days when you were a kid, like I start feeling like that again. And it's been an amazing feeling. And it took a lot of pain, a lot of thinking. And I really just had to change my entire like life, like thought process and how I treat others and how I think about myself and other people. And I just knew that there was something greater for me than what I've already achieved, because let me tell you, I was fucking miserable even when I was at my peak and thousands of people knew who I was and saying my jokes. I was like, you guys are idolizing failure. You guys are idolizing like the worst version of me, a failure. That's how I really felt. And I'd tell people that sometimes and they'd be so shocked to hear it. And I'm like, that's exactly how I feel.
So 2 months ago, when you started, making this change, where did you sit down and were you thinking about these things really deeply and you like had an epiphany?
Because I had an epiphany with my uncle. He was the same way. He lived how I lived, and he ended up taking his own life because of
Recently?
it. He lost his 2021, around the
Okay.
time I started blowing up. He took his own life, and he had the same thing going on. He lost his family. He lost everything and he got into drugs and gave up.
Okay.
Same with my dad. My dad had the same thing. He said, Dawson, like I already lived like that. Like I lived how you're living. Because he heard me say, like on the phone, I said, because people were getting mad about what words I said about an influencer. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck how he feels. Like if he wants to fucking cry about it, that's on him. I could give a fuck. Like, and my dad was like, he heard me talking like that. He's like, why are you talking like that? Like, I didn't raise you to be that way. Like, I've been down that road. I did all that already, and I deeply regret it. He said, even if I was, they were in the wrong, the fact that I treated people like that, I deeply regret it. And it just made me break down. like it broke me down, and I really had to do like a lot of like inner work to get past that, you know. And I just knew that I didn't want to keep living in this cycle. I didn't want to be the broken record for the rest of my life. When people think of me, Dawson or D-Tran, they think, ah, oh, he's a good guy, he had talent, but he's got issues, or there's always an issue going on with him, or you know, I was tired of living like that. It's always something negative associated with my name. There was always something negative, rarely ever positive. Even when there was positive, people had to make excuses for me. It's like, why do people have to make excuses for me? Why can't people just say, oh, he's a good guy, he's a hard worker, he has a great physique? It got to the point where now it doesn't care about people. They don't care about how I look. They think this guy's a fucking douchebag, he's an asshole. And I knew deep down that's not who I really was. So I looked at myself and I said, if this is how people feel, it's because of me. There's something I need to work here. And
That kind of like self
yeah.
introspection like that's super important, being like you are
Yeah.
the one in control.
Yeah. And I didn't make any more excuses for myself, and I told myself I'm going to change. I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to, you know, be more true to myself. And that's exactly what I've been doing. But I'm someone that's very genuine. I can't, like, if I'm going through something, I can't make content and act like I'm not going through it. I can't be like, oh, everything's great, you know, I'm in a good mood. If my life is not in the best spot, you're going to see that. You're going to see that in me. I'm a very emotional person. Like, I am extremely emotional.
You wear your
You know, even
feelings
though,
like a badge on your chest.
yeah, even though people, when they think of me, they think the opposite. They think D-Tren, he's not emotional. He doesn't care about emotions. Load up Tren. Oh, go on with your day. Like, load up Tren in your tip or whatever and get some girls, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, that's not me. Like, that is not me. I'm the guy that. There's times I cried every fucking day for months, like weeks, every day, because I was so upset about how I was living and how I was feeling. There's times I've had breakdowns, like all the time, you know? And I'm not that guy that's just, oh, don't pay attention to your emotions. Just, and I used to do that. I used to throw everything under the rug, you know? And then it'd come out in negative ways, like aggression or anger or rage. And I was just tired of fucking living like that. Like, seriously, I got fed up with it.
Well, man, as your friend, it is really pleasing me to hear that you have come
Yeah.
up with this new with this taken responsibility. And
Yeah.
you're realize that you are in the one in control of your life, and you're making these changes. Man, that is like it just makes me feel like I want to get behind you and make sure you keep doing
Yeah,
it.
dude. And it's like, for the first time in my life, I'm doing what I said I was going to do. That's how it feels. It's like with bodybuilding, my mental health, how I treated people. At first, I told myself, I'm going to treat people better online. I treat people well in person. People don't see that online. They think I treat people badly. So I'm going to go out of my way to treat people better and have a better attitude. And then I thought, okay, now what? All right, now I'm going to put it in my physique. I took baby steps. Now I'm gonna go out of my training. Okay, now I'm gonna include cardio. Okay, now I'm gonna clean up my diet. Now I'm gonna post more on social media. So like, I started out with baby steps because that's all I could do at first. I couldn't manage, okay, all this at once. I had to start with baby steps, and that's what I've been doing. That's been like my method.
Yeah.
And it's been all coming together. You
Yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's
So
how life is. You don't just find a the picture one day, you don't just figure out all your life problems. It comes in baby steps. You know, you have to experience it and learn and really think and feel. You have to feel your emotions. If you don't feel them, how the fuck are you gonna know what to do?
Yeah.
You know, you're not gonna know what the hell to, you're not gonna know how you feel. You're not gonna know what you want if you don't feel your emotions. So I had to really get used to feeling these intense emotions.
And now you feel like you're not having the problem with the breakdowns or anymore, and it, probably
No.
since you decided to take control of your own. You said you had that introspection moment where you said, it's something I'm doing. I'm the one in control. That moment where a person takes responsibility for their own life, that is like the moment of their life.
Yeah, and when I do get emotional, I feel good from it. I feel good. I like feeling my emotions. In the past, I hated it. Hated feeling vulnerable. I hated it. Now I love it because like I'm working towards being that better person, that man I always knew I could be. I'm doing what I told myself, what I said I was going to do. So now when I feel those emotions, and even if I can get teary-eyed, it's like it feels so good. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels good.
Man, that is.
And yeah, it's and I also wanted to add in I also do have really bad ADHD, and that probably played in with me not reacting the best on social media. I'm not saying it's an excuse for how I came off or whatever, but that really made it even harder for me. It made
Okay.
it twice as hard. Yeah. So that on top of everything else made it so much harder. But now it's like I thrive in my emotions, in my vulnerability, right? I thrive in it. And if you could thrive in that, you're unstoppable.
Yeah.
You really are. You could really achieve anything if you feel and think that way.
Man. A lot of people are going to benefit from hearing that experience. Those hard going through the hard, shitty times, that's when you become a man. That's when you make the big progress, the big gains in your life. You got to go through these shit times. And if you don't go through the shit times, you're not going to grow.
You know, someone that knew me really close during that time period when I was going before I even blew up on social media, and that still knows me. The best way they could say how I was, they looked at me and said, "You were a boy. You were acting like a boy." And that's the perfect explanation. I laughed when I smiled when they said that. I was like, "You're right. I was acting like a boy."
It sounds like you're ready to you've been making some changes and it's actually affecting your bodybuilding well because not making excuses or trying to like cut corners.
Yeah, no more of that. Giving it my all, you know. I feel like when everything else is set in stone, the mind is in a good spot, the body's an even better one.
Yeah.
Right? You can't build your body if you don't have the mind. If your mind's not in a good spot, it's not gonna happen.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing that
Yeah.
very personal story.
Very personal.
Let's move on to something a little lighter.
Lighter, yes.
I wanted to ask you, this is a question from me actually. Who are your favorite classic bodybuilders besides Arnold?
Me, besides Arnold, I was really big into Serge Nubre.
Yeah.
I love Serge Nubre's physique. And
You saw
besides
that
Serge
first time
Nubre,
on Pumping Iron?
yeah, the first time I seen Serge Nubre was on Pumping Iron.
So impressive.
And he was the guy that was barely included. Like they barely included him. In fact, I think they actually tried to not get him to compete that year. Like they tried to mess with him. And he actually came in like 10 to 15 pounds lighter than what he was supposed to because there was some like weird interference going on, supposedly. Because he was actually a contender. Like he placed second in that 75 Olympia. It was Arnold, Serge Nubre, and then third, I believe, was
Lou.
either Lou Ferrigno. And they didn't even talk about Serge Nubre. It was just Arnold and Lou. And I also think it's because of his race. It could be also because, you know, he was a black man. It also be because of his color that might play a part in it as well. But Serge Nubre just super streamlined aesthetic, just beautiful. He has what I call a beautiful physique, you
Yeah,
know?
and his bodybuilding stories that he would tell were fucking awesome too. Like he would talk about like, oh,
Yeah.
I would eat 2 pounds of horse meat, or what, 8 pounds of horse meat. What was it?
Yeah.
Do you remember how
Yeah.
much it was?
He ate a lot. I think some days he did up to 800 grams of protein a day.
Gee, yeah, that's it. Oh, geez, that is
800
8 pounds.
grams of protein. Yeah. And his skin was so smooth, man. That's what I recall about Serge. His skin was like baby smooth.
I've heard interesting stories about his chemical use too, like that he was a huge thyroid consumer and didn't diet for his bodybuilding competitions, just upped the thyroid.
Up the thyroid, up the thyroid, and the
Until he
trenbolone.
was conditioned, yeah.
Yeah, he would do sit-ups instead of cardio. He'd do like 2,000 sit-ups in the morning, right when he got up. That was like his cardio.
Jeez.
Yeah, he'd wake up, just hammer him out right there.
Have you seen how wide that guy gripped his bench press?
Really, yeah, wide.
Like all the way out by the collars.
Was there any benefit to that, gripping it like how Arnold and Serge did? Was there any benefit? They both had good chests. They both had really good chests.
Yeah, like some of the best chests of all time.
There must be some maybe added benefit there.
Well, I was thinking that they probably are thinking it's going to make their chest wider because they were also doing like really wide grip pull-ups, I think, for the
Yeah.
purpose of making the back
A wider
wider.
back. And a lot of dumbbell flies, like
Yeah.
really wide, like almost to the floor, stretching the entire pec muscle.
Do you like dumbbell flies?
I love them. Yeah. One of my favorite chest workouts exercises.
Do you do flat or incline?
Flat, I feel it way better compared to an incline. I do it the Arnold style, the legs up as low as I could go. And I come out to about right here and come out again. I don't come all the way out. Keep the tension right
Yeah.
there. It gives a really good stretch. Like it almost was like the tendon's gonna rip off the bone. Like it feels like a huge stretch. It's a good feeling.
Yeah. I like that too. Like you said, not coming up all the way. When you come up all the way, it almost seems
Yeah.
like that ruins the exercise.
That's how I grew a lot of my chest. With the dumbbell flies, I have stretch marks. Can't really see it. I'm wearing a shirt, but stretch marks like a lot in this area is because of the dumbbell flies. I've been doing them since I was 18, 19. I believe like that's a really good exercise that's helped me in my chest growth.
Excellent. All right, let's get on to another question here. This one's from Aw Fitness Lover. He asks, Dawson said he uses insulin now. See if he'll go over that and why he decided to use insulin.
So I've used it about, I'd say, two times for about 2 to 4 weeks. I used it in my last big bulk because I really wanted to see what it would do for me and add on some mass. But to be honest, I didn't really notice a lot of it that I could attribute to the insulin because I was on a high dosage of PEDs, testosterone. I did know that it helps with pumps and how I looked in the gym, but I only used it pre-workout. So I'd
Okay.
use 10 to 12 IU's of Humalog pre-workout. And that was only for about 4 weeks.
And
That
then
was the longest time
were you
I
doing
ever
an
ran it.
intra-workout drink?
Yes, I was. I was doing the dextrose, 100 to 150 grams of dextrose with it. And yeah, the pumps. The fullness was insane
Yeah.
doing that, but I couldn't attribute how much muscle gain came out of that because I only did it for 4 weeks. And yeah, I can't really say this made me like more muscular because I feel like I wasn't running it long enough to get
Yeah,
something crazy out of it.
that kind of short-term insulin use, like you're going to see a huge benefit for as long as you're using the insulin. And then as when
Yeah.
you take it out,
Yeah,
like it's going to go away.
I don't use it anymore. I am not a fan of insulin at all.
Okay.
Mainly why is because I don't really want to rely on it. And I believe physiques without the use of insulin, you look so much better.
Yeah.
And mainly because of what you said, the more insulin storage hormone you have in your body, the more your body's going to want to hold on to things, right? Whether it's body fat or storage, whatever, like muscular storage. And
Water.
to me, it just, yeah, it doesn't look appealing to me. And I much prefer the physiques that didn't use insulin. And I use L-carnitine over insulin. It's not the same. They don't work the same way, but L-carnitine is what I prefer, injectable, which is an amino acid, and it has an effect on endurance, pump, and it also makes your body more sensitive to insulin. But it's not, at a cost, whatever guys that use insulin have, you know what I mean? So
Yeah.
I prefer that over using actual insulin because I don't like eating a lot of carbs throughout the day. I don't like doing that.
And what does the injectable L-carnitine do for you? You're
It's
taking it
essentially,
pre-workout?
yeah, I take it in the morning fasted
Mm-hmm.
and I take it pre-workout with 50 grams of dextrose. I take about 800 to 600, 800 to 1,000 milligrams a day. And essentially it's a fat burner. It's a natural fat burner. As long as your diet's in check, it's going to help speed up fat loss, helps insulin sensitivity, lowers blood pressure, helps cholesterol, helps with endurance, cardio, helps with pumps, like vascularity, makes you sweat a bit more. Energy, especially when you're on a steep deficit, helps with that too. I'm not really too like crazy into it. Like I haven't done a lot of studies into it regarding like everything it does, but those are the main things that I notice from it. I notice that it helps my appearance, it keeps me leaner, and it really has a good effect in the gym paired with the carbohydrates.
That's cool to hear that you're getting effects like a pre-workout effect from an L-carnitine like that. That's the
Yeah,
first
and
time I've heard that.
the best thing about it is it is not detrimental to your health at all. It's
Yeah.
actually positive. It actually improves your lipids, your blood panels, your cholesterol, your blood pressure, your insulin sensitivity, your performance, your cardio, your endurance. It even has an effect on fertility. It can improve fertility.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's a natural. It's an amino acid. It's not a steroid. So it's
Yeah.
naturally occurring in the body. So I love that idea. That's one thing that's changed about my thought process in PEDs is I don't want to use stuff that are just detrimental to my health just to use it. I'd rather use something that's not detrimental that could help me, by putting in a little bit more work. I
Yeah.
like that. That's what I like. I'm like, oh man, this is a hack. Like this is what a lot of bodybuilders actually use injectable L-carnitine. It's just not very talked about. Because not everyone wants to inject every day,
Yeah.
this stuff to get a good effect from it. But I love it. It's helped me. I would say it's a big reason why I look the way I do and why this cut recomp has been so effective is because of the injectable carnitine. It's a lot stronger than what people think.
That's cool that you're having a super good success with that. Have you used the oral as well?
I have not. I went straight to the injectable because the injectable is far superior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely higher blood levels, definitely way higher bioavailability with the injection.
Yes.
Is there any other natural supplements that you like?
Besides, that's about it. I mean, yeah, I don't really use much else. I mean, I just my vitamins and stuff. Like metformin, I don't think that's natural though.
I think you.
Berberine,
Yeah,
berberine.
berberine's natural. That's a really
Yeah,
good natural supplement.
I like that one. I take like 2,000 milligrams of that a day. Take
Nice.
1,500 to 2,000 just straight up. That too.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Berberine is one of my favorites as well.
Yeah.
Gets that insulin down.
I like the stuff that really makes you insulin sensitive, that improves your insulin sensitivity. I like that. Like I've been focusing on stuff like that.
That's one of the things that people notice. Like the more you get into bodybuilding and the more you learn and like about like the real physiology of the bodybuilding, it's just like, man, insulin and manipulating that thing is like the end
Yeah.
all be all. It's the holy grail of
It
manipulating your body.
is. Yes. And then not natural, my favorite not natural su supplement right now is Stembolone, acetate. We only have 6 minutes, I think, so I wanted to include throw that in there. That has been a fucking game changer.
What have you been getting out of Stembolone acetate that you were not able to get out of other supplements? Like, you're getting better effects from that you like than from Trenbolone
I would
or
say just
Primabolone.
the quality of mind, dude. It doesn't feel like I'm on anything mentally at all. Like I could live, I can enjoy my life. Nothing is messing with my estrogen, my sex drive, my energy, my impulse control, everything. It feels like I'm not really on anything. I just get the good effects of DHT and I'm good. No rage, no anger, no nothing, no weird feelings. So it a lot, it doesn't feel like I'm really, I feel healthy. So I like about it. It makes me feel healthy in that department. And but physically, if I could describe it, it's what you'd expect a drier version of Anadrol to be.
Man, that's cool.
And that's what it was made for. It was made, Anatrophin was an injectable alternative to Anadrol. The Germans made it. So in the 60s.
And them Germans, they know how to manufacture very, very well. Everything that
Yeah, and
comes out of Germany is high quality.
I'm surprised it's not extremely popular because, in my opinion, it beats Primo and Mastron and Equipoise by miles. By miles. Like, it's not even close.
There's all these, it's funny, we've only got like a handful of steroids that we have access to. We got like what, 10
Yeah.
steroids, 15 steroids?
Yeah.
And
It's kind of
there's a
ridiculous.
couple thousand steroids that are known. So,
Yeah. And no other steroid worked for me the way I wanted Stembolone to. Like, every other steroid gave me issues one way or another. This one, no issues anywhere in terms of how I feel and my performance. It's improved everything.
how long have you been running it now?
7 weeks.
That's when you discovered it, 7 weeks ago.
I discovered it way before that, like a few months before, but I finally took the trip. I, you know, took the risk. I just said, all right, I'm going to try it. Like, yeah, 7, 8 weeks ago.
Awesome. Man, you're tempting
Yeah.
me. You're making me think I want to try it too.
It's, I love it. I'm kind of glad most people don't know about it because I feel like it gives me an edge. It gives me an edge over a lot of people,
That
I feel like.
acetate, that it's cool to be able to inject a DHT steroid without liver
Yeah.
toxicity and have it be a fast-acting acetate like that.
Yeah, it reduces the subcutaneous water really fast. That's what you'll notice it. But then after time, it gives a really nice full 3D appearance. So like a super Primobolan, really round and full and classic. But I would say it's even rounder than what Primobolan would give you. And it really dries out the midsection, helps with vascularity, just gives a really quality look. It feels really quality, like clean. Dan Duchesne talked about it. He said it was the greatest steroid ever. He said it cost to reward, like it is the best
It's a Dan
he ever
Duchesne
tried.
one.
Yes, that was his favorite. That said, if he could run one for the rest of his life, it would be Stembolone acetate over anything else.
Well, that makes me get that much more interested because Dan Duchesne, he's the original guru.
Yeah, and I agree. I've tried them all. I'm 100% with him. At higher dosages, I've tried Primo at higher dosages, Tren at higher dosages. Stembolone at half those dosages beats them for me by miles.
Man, so we're gonna have to keep update with your physique so we can see how that Stembolone cycle goes.
It's going really well. It's the best I've ever looked these past few weeks, yeah.
So we're running out of time for today, but want to thank D-Tren for Dawson, not D-Tren anymore.
Whatever you want to call me. Don't
You'd
mind.
have to give people maybe a couple more months to get the new identity. and
Yeah, a
throw out
couple
the old
years.
identity.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, want to thank you for coming on the podcast, man. It was great talking with you today. Thanks for opening up and everything. And
Of course.
want to get you on the podcast again soon, man.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right.
All right. So that's going to be the last question for the podcast today. It's fun talking to you guys, and I'll be coming up with another episode for you guys real soon here. So make sure to go pick up Ultimate Guide to Roids, 109-page ebook by Dan the Bodybuilder from Thailand. You know, if you just go to bodybuilderinthailand.com, it's I think it's the first article on the homepage where you can check it out and read like 20 pages. It's definitely worth it. It's my best content. You know, if you like the podcast, the book will blow you away.